Hi, everybody, and welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and I am bringing you a quick shot of romance, author edition. And today I'm welcoming author Eloisa James to the podcast. Hello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. We are going to be talking about Hardly a Gentleman, your new book that is coming. But before we get to Hardly a Gentleman, we're going to do some get to know you questions.
Okay, I'm here.
You're here for it.
I'm here for it.
Okay, so what initially drew you to historical romance as an author?
Well, it's what I loved when I was in, high school and reading romance. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm a Shakespeare professor in my other life. And so
okay.
I spend a lot of time just teaching people who are, teaching plays, which are people walking and talking in the past. So it's a lot easier for me to think about people walking in the past than it is maybe for others who aren't quite as, drowning in Renaissance drama. Not that I write in the 1600s, I write in the 1800s, but still.
What made you make the, like, why Shakespearean
drama?
You know
how life is. You make a decision and one thing leads to another. And I had a job after I graduated in California, working for an engineering company doing software development. And I was like, I really like England. I really like rain. I really like men. And so I applied for a 2-year job, a 2-year position over there. And I thought, well, I liked Shakespeare. I took one class in college, 2 classes. And I loved it when I got there. So then I came back and did a PhD in America.
That's so you designed software to start out with, though.
It was, back then. Yeah, it was very basic. It was like basically customer service type.
But it wasn't basic back then.
No, it was real trial and error.
That's fascinating. That is one thing that I really enjoy about these author interviews that I get to do, is like talking to people about like their past lives and things they do outside of being an author. And if there are a lot of authors who are very fortunate, like that they can author all the time, like that is like their full-time job and like that's what they really enjoy. But it's always fun to talk to different authors who like they are still doing their other job because like they love it so much, and like how they got to that and just the different journeys of the authors is just so fascinating to me.
I think it has a very good effect on my writing because I'm with 18, 19, 20-year-olds all the time.
Yeah.
And if you're writing romance over a long period of time, which I have, right? My first book is, I have 30 books. You need to have a sense of where people are in terms of relationships between people, between men and women, but how do they feel about consent? All those kind of things could pass me by if I was just sitting around in my apartment, like watching Friends or something. But I'm in the classroom with people saying, Hamlet's a real jerk. And you figure out how they're thinking differently than my students did a decade ago, and all that gets into the books.
Well, that's the thing too. Like the world's thinking has changed so much in the past, like 10 to 15 years. Like, I mean, especially so, like prior to that, but like the last 10 to 15 years, like just the thought process and a lot of things has changed so vastly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, no one ever really loved Hamlet, but they used to say, "Oh, he's so suicidal." Now they're like, "He's such a sexual harasser." Hey, it's just interesting. Like, the plays exist to be read by the generation that's learning them. They are incredibly mutable. That's why they've survived. So I'm lucky.
So when you were deciding to become an author, what made your, like, what pushed you to write that first manuscript and like publish that first book?
I needed to pay off my student loans. I mean, I loved romance. I had always loved romance, but I did not meet an Englishman. I came back and I went to graduate school and I met an Italian, my husband, Alessandro Vittori. And Italians do not have student debt because college is pretty much free there. So, but I did. And so we got married and we had one baby, and he was like, "We can't afford another baby. You have this, $30,000 in student loan debt," which was a tremendous amount at the time. Now, Like people have so much more.
Oh, I
But
know, it's
I,
ridiculous.
you know, I thought, okay, I'll write something and I'll pay it off. And I wrote a book and it went up for auction and it sold for a couple thousand dollars over my student loans. But I had to write three books for that. So that was the start of my career and I realized it was so much fun. I love it. I love writing. It's such a joy. So
Is there a piece of advice that you, like current writer you, would give past writer you?
I used to be so upset when I got bad reader reviews in particular.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone wants to go back and look at my first book, Potent Pleasures, I would get one 5-star review and one 1-star review. And they were all talking about POV, which is point of view, which I'd never heard of because I never took any creative writing classes. So I was like, POV, you know, I had no idea. And I would cry. And then my husband was like, look, you got to stop looking at this and real. Like, those are readers talking to readers. And so if I was looking back, I would say, hey, you know, somebody's going to hate this book, and it'll be the same book that someone else will love. And it'll be the same book that somebody will write and say, you know, my sister was in hospice and I read it aloud to her and she laughed. I mean, what would you want? So, what if 500 people hated it if that one person laughed? I mean, that's an exaggerated example, but
No, but
every.
it touched that one person in a really profound way, and it's like that all like that kind of outweighs all the bad.
It does. Romance is a genre for pleasure and escape. And if you can help someone escape a really tough time, you know, then it's a success.
So is there a subgenre of romance that you enjoy reading, or do you still read a lot of historicals
I
themselves?
don't read historicals. I can't. My
Because
voice
you
is
write
deadly.
them.
So, like, I love Sarah McLean's books, but if I start reading Sarah McLean, particularly when I'm writing one of my own, suddenly my ones would become tougher and like thinking about dynamite, and it's just not. I have to stay in my lane, you know. So I write, you know, mine are more farcical than hers. So I read a tremendous amount of sci-fi romance. I read contemporary romance. I read fantasy. I read less fantasy than, you know, kind of fantastical romance. You know, like monster romance is fun. I
I
find
love a good
everything
monster.
fun. Contemporary romance is great. You know, I've got tons of books here. Sonali Dev's new book. There's something about Mira, which is sort of more women's fiction. I love those too. As long as they have a romance in them.
I mean, I'm the same way. Like when I was growing up, I read a little bit of everything because I mean, my parents were both big readers and my grandfather was a big reader. And so like we were always really encouraged to read. And like my mom got the boxes of Harlequins every month.
Oh,
And so
yeah.
I would dive into
Love
those babies, but it was like there was such a wide variety of books in our house growing up. Like we had this, like my brother was a huge Stephen King fan, so like we had those books, and we had the Nancy Drews and the Trixie Beldens and like all of
I
those.
loved all those. Yeah, and Harlequin Presents. I didn't mention that, but give me a bad day and I get a Harlequin Presents and go to the bathtub and you know, it's heartwarming. It's
It
you know,
is.
some
Well, there's
great.
just something about that because the ones my mom would get, like they were all blue covers. Like sometimes they were the intrigues and things like that. But there's just something about when you see that blue cover that's very, like, it's very comforting.
It is. I don't know how your listeners feel, but I'm starting to think that we need to go back to like paintings on the cover of books because those
Oh,
I
I
used
would
to
love
love those so
that.
much. Like I could recognize my favorite painter or illustrator. You know, this is before AI. Like I figured, you know, maybe we need to move away from AI. And anyway, so let me just mention that in case you're thinking of ordering Hardly a Gentleman, I commissioned my own step back oil painting of my
Did
characters.
you?
I did, yes. And if you order from the Rift Bodice in either location, they will send you a gorgeous reproduction of this oil painting that I think is wonderful and I think should be on the cover. But anyway, it's the two of my characters in one of my favorite scenes in the library. So very sexy,
Ooh.
very tender.
I like that. Well, and I really enjoy the cover for this book. Like it's very simple, but not at the same time. But it's like it's an understated cover, but it's still everything that you want and need, like in a true romance cover. I just really, it's just the coloring is just very well chosen, and I just really enjoy looking at it.
I don't feel like I should say thank you because I didn't, but HarperCollins art department thanks you.
Well, excuse me. So do you have any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused and productive?
I eat an awful lot when I'm writing. I'm like, okay, I've got today. My goal is 5 pages. But if my attention slips, I go and eat something. So, you have to control yourself in those situations. So I just have all these things like, okay, you can have carrots. Okay, you can have an orange. Because I don't know. It's something about if I start eating chocolate, I'll just eat way too much chocolate. So. So
You
I
have to
have
choose
sort of
that
a,
healthy
it's like
option.
a planned, yes. It's like planned eating, and then at the end I get chocolate because it's hard to concentrate, especially as you get into a book, you're holding the entire plot in your head. So where characters when they started, where they at the end, I'm writing the fourth book in this series called The Accidental Duchesses, right? I'm sorry, The Accidental Brides right now. And I have to keep where the character, the heroine, was introduced, 2 books back, like how it changed, why these other characters are being referred to. They one of them's falls in love in Hardly a Gentleman. She's referred to in this book. Where are we exactly in time? And I, it's hard to write things that are funny. That takes a lot of concentration, a lot of rewriting.
Do you plan out your series before you write them? Like, I know you're traditionally published, so like, there is a little bit more detail that needs to go into that rather than like some of the indie authors that we have, but do you just kind of let the words flow as you go?
I do, yeah. I mean, I'm lucky. I've been writing so long, and yes, I'm traditionally published, but they don't ask me for a synopsis or anything like that. And if I did, frankly, it would be one big lie because when you actually start writing, like all things happen. Like today, this morning, I was writing about my hero and heroine, and this is, in the fourth book in this series, and all of a sudden, the end said, "Oh, he's betrothed. He has a fiance." I was like, oh, he has a fiance. Those kind of fun things where I'm like, oh yeah, of course he has a fluffy, pretty fiance, like a fluffy cheek, chick, like a chick with greedy eyes. Perfect. But it wouldn't have been in my synopsis. She didn't exist
Because
until
she
the fourth.
just came to you.
She just showed up, yeah, and she's going to be really evil, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, that is going to be fun. I do like an evil like character, but that's just me. So let's talk Hardly a Gentleman. So this is book one in The Accidental Brides.
Book two.
Oh, book two. I
Yeah.
apologize.
No, the first one is called Viscount in Love. So, in the first book, Viscount in Love, you meet the heroine, Clara, but it doesn't really matter. One thing you learn about her in the first book is that she likes making reticules or little bags that are with faces on them and whiskers.
Well, and honestly, in this book, like it makes an appearance, and it's a very like exceptional appearance because she whacks a prince with it and pokes him with a whisker.
Yes, she whacks the Prince Regent, who, by the way, was known for being a horrible sexual harasser. So she just whacks him right across his fat stomach. And then, yeah, he's very pissed.
Yeah,
So.
so this book comes out April 29th, 2025. It's a forced marriage, a little bit of hidden identity, but that's not really though. Like
No.
she tries so hard to pretend that she's this housekeeper, but she does not do a good job of that.
He
And
knows.
it
His name
does.
is Beezer. He says she's a lady.
She's a lady.
There's a lady, and there's some guy is going to be chasing after her because it's a, if we're talking tropes, it's a hero falls first book for sure.
Well, and let me tell you, so when I was reading the book, you have a character named Mr. Cobbledick.
Yeah.
So, but when I was reading it, I read it as Gobbledick the first time.
No.
And so every time it was on the page, I was like, I giggled, which it's funny and like in general, but then I was like, wait, that's not a G, that's totally a C, but it was still a funny name. So I giggled every time it was on the page.
I like making if so just to tell everyone he's a coachman, that's not the hero.
No, it's not.
But he's a nice coachman, he's a funny
He
coachman. So
is.
yeah, I wanted to give him sort of a silly name.
Well, it definitely worked out. Like I just well, and he like really takes Clara under his wing and like protects
Yes.
her like as they're
Yep.
going through the journey from England to Scotland and and he realizes from the get-go like she is not this Mrs. Potts lady that she claims to be, and he just goes along with it and he's like, okay, but if that's what we're gonna do, we're just gonna go. But she that was one thing I liked about Clara. She's a very strong character. Like she knows what she wants. She knows who she is. Like, and she's not willing to change herself for anybody. Like her mom was not a very nice person
No,
and
just to give
didn't.
people a little backstory, after she slaps the Prince Regent, she is, basically sent to Scotland to live with the
Yeah.
elderly aunt, but she decides she wants to be a housekeeper and go to a Scottish castle instead. So she jumps into a carriage bound for a Scottish castle where she meets a laird fishing naked in the stream. And yes, she is very strong and she knows what she wants. I like her so much.
I liked her so much too, because a lot of times, like, I'm not a huge historical romance reader. Like, it's hard for me to find some that I like. And it's not that I haven't tried, it's one of those things where they don't draw me in the way that, like, other books do. And that has been part of my issue with some of them is the heroines are just so naive and, like, sheltered. And not in, it's not always a bad thing, but it's like, it's so much sometimes. And she did not like, yeah, she's a little sheltered because, like, I mean, she's a lady and she's been out in society and nobody has like given her like any indication of marriage before. And so she's kind of an embarrassment to her mother, but she's not. But she didn't have that naive sense about her.
No, because I don't think very many women actually had that. I mean, obviously some did, but for someone like Clara, who's been on the season, so-called, this is her fourth season, she would not be, a blushing virgin too much. And, but that naivete part of it is one of the jokes of the book, right? Because when she sees the hero naked in the freezing Irish stream,
Well, yeah,
her
that.
only experience of male accoutrement is looking at a Roman vase and she's like, oh, that's not too bad. So it's like one of those jokes that you're waiting to find because, of course, when she sees
Well,
it, actually,
and
it's
that does come full circle later in the
yeah.
book, and it's like
Like,
that
what
whole
is that?
reaction was so funny. Like, that's not gonna work.
Right. So when I'm talking about things being funny, like it's hard to write those kind of things. You have the idea, but then you have to pare it down and write it again and again and again and again to make sure that the reader gets the joke, is waiting for the joke, feels the joke, laughs out loud. It's work, yeah.
So Kaelin is a widower. He has been a widower for a few years now, and he has basically let his castle. When we first met him, I was like, ooh, this guy's a little bit feral. And I kind of like
He's a
that.
wild man.
Because, I mean, he likes to fish in the loch and in his
Yeah.
naked glory. Like,
All
he's not a
together.
big fan of the clothes. Like, he does not care if, like, there are rats in his kitchen and
Only
there's,
one rat.
well,
Yeah.
one is one too many.
Yes.
If there's one, there's others. Like,
There's probably babies somewhere.
but
Yeah.
so he just has not cared about like really anything around him. Like, he does his work, he fishes, and like he cares about his sister and his nephew and his brother-in-law, but there, that's about it. So he comes across a little feral when you first meet
Yeah.
him.
Yeah, he's one of those people, and I think there are more men like this than women, but his wife dies and he just kind of, there's no one taking care of the house. He can't keep a housekeeper in there, and it genuinely doesn't bother him. So he mostly fishes in the stream and cooks the fish in the outside, fireplace. And when she comes in, my heroine comes in, Clara is like, what is this is disgusting. What's going on? It's like, oh, as far as he's concerned, he has his library full of books and he has the stream full of fish, and that's a
There's nothing
perfect
else
life.
that he needs.
Yeah.
Well, and Clara like is very well read, so like she is very excited about all the books. Like, she is a lady, but is like, I will learn how to do these things and I will create like a healthy place for you to live instead of the filth that you are creating. And so that is a big part of like the first part of the book, is like her establishing like a staff and bringing people in and their relationship like evolving to more, but she holds back a lot because she's like, I want love. I want that relationship where they want me for me and to love me. Like, I don't want to get married if I'm not going to get that.
She's seen enough, right? I mean, one key thing is she also makes him clean. She's like, there's no one else, you and I are cleaning. And I think that's really good for him. I, you know, that's certainly how I run, whatever, how my marriage has worked, doing all this work by myself. So yeah, so she's very modern in some ways, I will say. Because there, you know, when you're writing historical romance, you're always writing to the past and to the present. And it's unlikely that an honorable young lady would have made this man do work. But she was such a strong character and such a strong person that in some way the story just takes over.
Well, and if she hadn't had that direction and made him do those things, like, I don't think their relationship would have been as natural as it was. Like, the fact that, like, he basically was willing to do anything for her. He was like her little puppy who, like, she said, sit, and he said, yes, and she said, jump,
Well,
and he said, how high.
okay, he's an alpha puppy. Let's just say that.
He is, yes, but, like, he's a puppy for her, but nobody else.
No, exactly. I mean, it's hero falls first, and he's like, I see her. She's fantastic. I want her in all ways. I'll do anything to keep her. And I realize some man is probably chasing her from England. She's wearing this wedding ring. So he's like, I may have to go down to England and like kill her husband because, you know, he was abusive. He's willing to do anything, including murder. Luckily, she doesn't have a husband chasing her.
She
So,
doesn't,
no.
and I mean, it all kind of works out, but one so. But there's such a great cast of characters that you've created too. Like, we have Alfie, the nephew, who has his silky chicken that he just adores. And his character is so fun because he just loves on these animals and he doesn't want to let them go. And he carries the chicken around, and her name is Wilhelmina. And it in a silky, like, they're just little puff balls. So they're, like, really soft, fluffy, and just adorable. But, like, his sister is actually a very strong character as well. And, like, you can tell that, like, she is strong and brings Clara under her wing and is like, you do what you need to do. But also, understand my brother is kind of an idiot. So when you don't think he's feeling, he actually is feeling. He just doesn't know how to express it.
There are historical romances that take place in ballrooms. I mean, think about Bridgerton, right? So a large part of the plot of Bridgerton, and I love those books and the TV show, is reflecting off of social conventions. And I've written a bunch of those books. I love them. But this is not a ballroom book, right? This is
No.
set in a decrepit castle in Scotland with a half-naked laird. And so that gave me a lot more. I could build a little world really, and make it quite fierce and visible in the same space because I didn't have to do the whole polite society and anything like that. So yeah, they can have these very vivid
Well,
characters.
and it almost gives you that small, like, I mean, it's historical, so there's no small towns really at that point, but it gives you that small town feel, like when they go into the village and they're interacting with everybody, like when they have their wedding and, like, the reception afterwards, and everybody's plying her with all the whiskey, and she's like, it's really gross, but I'm gonna drink it and say really great things about it. So you have that small town, like, feel to it, but in the historical world, which I thought was a really interesting blend.
Well, I grew up in a small town, you know, in Minnesota, and I had a chicken named Wilhelmina.
Did
So
you really?
you're writing a historical, writing anything, right? You have got to put parts of yourself into the book. There's no question. And you know, I would view my high school prom as like Clara's failures and humiliations on the, you know what I mean? That sense in which everyone in the community knows each other and a person is coming in and she's such success. So that wanted her to be somewhere where people are like, wow, she's amazing because she'd been rejected back home in London, because she didn't fit in, because she was, you know, her breasts were too fantastic for London, basically. You know, you just wear those tiny little dresses or the tiny little bodices and, you know.
Well, and then she comes to this, like, new area, and like she is living with him, and there's all of that little bit of chaos there. But then she has to live up to the expectation of like the dead wife at the same time. And like as the book progresses, we find out there's a little bit more to like Callan and Isla's relationship than there was, than you realize. But there's just so much like Isla's mom is like talking about how this was her castle and all these things. And so Claire's like, well, I have to live up to the expectation of that. She's like, but I'm not her. Like, I'm not this fanciful, like, sparkly lady. Like, I am who I am. And I like to make like little cats and mice that I can carry around.
Yeah, she's, I mean, you obviously, you understood the core of it because it's so hard. I mean, Isla is someone who would have done beautifully in London, right? She's so pretty and she's so feminine. And so for Clara to get paired with someone who's viewed as having the greatest love affair of all of like the Highlands with this gorgeous woman who died incredibly young, that's like her worst nightmare. I mean, sometimes you want to do that in a romance, right? You want the reader to look up from the book and go, "Oh, this is just awful. This is not what I wanted for Clara, right? I don't want Clara to have to fall in love with this guy or be with this guy who's got this great love story. I want her to be loved for herself, and that's what she wants." But so then you have to read the book to find out what happens.
You do. And it's funny. It's so funny. Like as I was reading it, like I giggled. Like every time Alfie was on the page, like there was just little things that he did. And the fact that like they encouraged this chicken love, and like a dog has puppies and he's like, "Oh, I want to take the puppy home." And they're like, "We don't know if he'll get along with the chicken. So like maybe we shouldn't do that." And it's just like a lot of these little pieces where there's just so much care for each of like the members of the family.
It's yeah, you I try to make it as real as possible.
Well, it was a delight to read.
Thank you. That's just
You're
that's
welcome.
great, especially for someone who doesn't read that much historical romance. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed like the way that these characters played out and they developed and the way their relationship like it ebbed and flowed. And they had like a couple moments. Like there's a big moment like towards the end where like something happens and I'm not gonna tell you because you have to read it. And I was like, I could totally see her doing it.
Yeah.
And then his reaction to it, like I was expecting like a big reaction, but it was bigger than I anticipated at the same time. But there's just so many little nuances to the story that like grab you in.
Thank you. Wow, this is making my day. Thank you. What fun.
So what's next?
Well, what's next? So Hardly a Gentleman comes out at the end of April, and then the sequel to it is called The Last Lady B. And that will come out in January. And so there is a part in the story where a very young English wife shows up who's married to a man in his 70s. And she's his, you know, there've been three wives beforehand who've all died. It's her story. So that's an interesting one. Yes, because she's going to the Highlands. And you know they're going for Christmas, and the abbey where they're going is supposed to be haunted by his three previous wives, and she's looking forward to meeting ghosts. She's like, you know, an intrepid young woman. But I think it's a very funny book, and I think of it as like slightly gothic, like gothic adjacent, because it's supposed to be the ghosts and so on. And I think again, I did the same thing, a very small sort of a very small canvas. You know, just the abbey and like who's in the abbey, including a very bad-tempered solicitor, is in the abbey, and she meets him on day one, and all kinds of things happen, including, and I'm not breaking anything here, but her husband dies right away. He's in his 70s anyway, so out he goes. But you know, it's just really fun getting that, growing a group of characters. I think I have really interesting characters there, including a sort of a young girl who's reminds me of the young girl on the Munsters.
I do like me some monsters.
I think it's fun. And so now I'm writing the fourth book in that series.
That sounds very intriguing. I like a little like ghost story sideline in a book.
Funny, funny, funny ghost. But
Funny
yes,
ghosts,
I'm a
yes.
ghost.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to stop by and talk to me about your books and your craft. I appreciate it so much.
It was such a pleasure. Anytime. If I can get you reading another historical romance, I'd love to come back. So.
I definitely will be diving into the rest of the series because I really enjoyed the characters a lot.
Fabulous. Okay, thank you so much. Bye,
And
everybody.
until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.